Ksubis,
also known as Masechet Ketuvot. Ksubis is a fun one relative to Yevamah. Not as fun as Kiddushin, but a lot of very fundamental rules about marriage come up in Ksubis, as you can imagine, because the Ksuba is what is sort of at the core of a Jewish marriage in terms of what your obligations are and what's written in it, and in terms of your responsibilities when you take upon yourself the obligation of marriage. So we'll get there throughout the Masech, the different sort of halachas, different, you know, complications that could arise. First and foremost is when you're supposed to get married. The first few dafim are really, you know, the basis of the first few dafim sounds a little peculiar to us for a number of reasons. But as you can see from the first word, besula, so a lot of it hinges on whether or not you're getting married under the correct pretenses. Besula obviously means virgin, and most of the sort of first, you know, first few dafim are about what happens when you realize that the woman that you married who told you she was a virgin isn't really a virgin. And then the question becomes, well, what are the ramifications of marrying someone under false pretenses, and how can you prove that, and when do you prove that? So we'll see that a little bit today, but we're going to start from a more peculiar place based on what we do today, which is that the Mishnah tells us, Besula Nisus Yom HaRevi. A virgin is to be married on Wednesday. Okay? Kind of an interesting idea. Why? The Aman of Yom HaChamishi, and the Aman of the widow is to be married on a Thursday. Why? Shepa'amayim b'Shabbos batei dinin yoshvin. Right, if you look at this in the Gemara that I have here, you don't know that it means pa'amayim, but that's what it does mean. It should have two yuds. In modern Hebrew, if we were to spell pa'amayim, it would be with two yuds. I'm sure you have pa'amayim in your Gemaras, right, with the punctuation? Yeah, pa'amayim. Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be.
It looks like pa'amayim.
Yeah, it looks like pa'amayim, but it is pa'amayim. That there are two times during the week that the batei din in yoshpin v'ayaros b'yom ha'sheni v'yom ha'chashmin chamishi. On Mondays and Thursdays, right? This is partly why we lay in on Mondays and Thursdays, other reasons also, but partly why we lay on Thursdays, because that's when the people would come to town to do the market, to go to the market, and that's when people come down to go to the court system. So this is when also we prepare ourselves to get married so that she'im hayalo tanas besulim, if someone had a claim against virginity, that's what tanas besulim means, so then hayamash kimalaisin, meaning if they get married on a Wednesday, they'll consummate the marriage on that Wednesday night, and thereby he will have known or not have known whether or not she is really a virgin. And the next morning he can go straight to Beis Din. Gemara will talk about why do we need it to be in such close proximity. What is the benefit of that? But
and of course we didn't address the widow.
We haven't even talked about the widow on Thursday. Correct. We're going to see a little bit of why it must be a little later in the week, but not about Thursday. We'll talk about that later. Says Gemara. And help me out because I don't have any punctuation here, but I'll do my best. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Mivnei ma, Amar Besula Nisus Yom HaRevi. So Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosef starts us off. Why do we need to get married on a Wednesday? And the answer does not really tell you much. But he says, at least to get us started, Lefi Shashaninu, because we learn, He gives ma v'lo nitzu, Ochlos mishalav, v'ochlos mitru b'truma. That if the time for marriage comes and they have not gotten married, so then he's obligated to sustain her, to give her food already. Now, what in the world does this mean? So the Rashi tells us, it used to be that when you gave, that when you got betrothed, so the expectation was when you got married, what we would, you know, colloquially call engagement. So when you would get engaged, you'd be betrothed, so then you'd have 12 months to, you know, seal the deal. And if after that 12 months, you have not yet sealed the deal, so it's as if you've already sort of accepted upon yourself the responsibility to support the woman. Okay? So here the situation is like this. Now, it doesn't make sense. What does it have to do with Wednesday? The situation is like this. Let's say you counted your 12 months, and 12 months happens to be on a Sunday. So if it happens to be on a Sunday, so then should you start supporting her already on Sunday? Should you get her dinner on Sunday already? So the Gemara says here, no, there is a special dispensation to get married on a Wednesday, and thereby you don't actually have to pay her, you don't have to support her until that Wednesday, meaning the 12-month starts on Sunday, but you always push it off to next Wednesday. That's presumably how you understand this. That's why it tells you on Wednesday you have to start supporting her, because even if it starts on if it ends up on a Sunday, you don't actually have that obligation until Wednesday. Rav Yosef, Marida Avraham. Marida Avraham is sort of like what are you talking about? You know, the master of Avraham. Kind of like a really?
They call it a
expostulation.
In Gemara yet? No, I don't know. I mean, it's
been
here.
Here
right, yeah. Marida Avraham is sort of like, are you crazy? How do they translate that?
It's called an expostulation. It's called a thing like Rebbeinu Shalom.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of like... Right, yeah. And oh my goodness, type of thing. So Tali Tana B'lo Tanya, you established the ruling of our Mishnah, which has a reason for it, meaning our Mishnah already tells us why you get married on Wednesday, because it's based on Thursday. And then you came and brought us some other reason from a different Braisa, which doesn't say anything about that, right? So the Gemara says, Tana B'lo Tanya, Hi Tanya, Hi, lo tanya, hatanya, hatanya. What do you mean? It's not learned. They're both learned. Clearly, there's a brisa that says these words. There's a mishnah that says these words. I just put them together. So what's your problem? So the real reason is, as I already said, el tali tanya de mefarish tama, our mishnah. You explained our mishnah, which has a reason already associated with it in terms of the based in. Bidelo tanya. Mefarish tama bidetana delo mefarish tama. With another statement of Chazal, which does not have a reason. Why is it that you give 30, 100, you know, why is it that that if the day of the marriage comes and you have to support her already? It doesn't say. So, Ella, Iyetz Marhach Yivmer. Really, this is what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said. Vivnei Ma Amru Besulah Nisaz Yomer Vi, Shim Hailo Tanas Besulim Hay Mashkum Besim Nidase, Vachma Shabbos. Hold on, the Tinase. So, this is Mashkum Besim. Because if you get married on a Wednesday, so you'd be able to go right to the base and on the next day. So Gemara says, "V'tinasu be'achav Shabbos." Why don't you get married on a Sunday? Because we just said the Mishnah itself said that they meet twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays. So why is it that you only said to get married on a Wednesday, which is actually an obvious question from the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, "Shim ha'elotanus besulim ha'emaskin the basement." You'd be able to go to the basement the next day. Also, similarly, on a Monday morning. So the Gemara tells us a very sort of very important rule, which presumably doesn't apply anymore. Shakdu chachamim asakanas b'nos Yisrael, sheyehe tarech b'suda shalosh hayamim. Unclear how to translate the word shakdu. What do you have? Shakdu. They opposed, they said, they established.
Diligence?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. No, that's maybe that's Torah, the Suda. I don't know.
No, it says the sages were diligent.
Shaktu Chachamim. The sages were diligent
in
terms of
the welfare.
In promoting the welfare. Okay, you see that none of those words are here, but that's what it means. That the rabbis established that the woman should give herself 3 days, right? You could basically you get the paid time off for Shei Torah, the Suda, Shlosh Yamim. Basically saying, we don't want you to work on Shabbos. Is that basically how you have it in your Gemara? Let's see. Shaktu. I thought it was a Shabbos.
He would have 3 days in a row to prepare for the wedding.
And you can't do it at Shabbos.
Yes. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah. I'm saying that the reason for that is because you always give 3 days, but is that because of Shabbos, or is that because generally, I don't remember. That's what I thought, I don't remember. Okay. Yeah. So, meaning that's why you can't do it on a Sunday, you can't get married on a Sunday, because then you don't have those 3 days from right beforehand. So it would be Revi Konsa, and then on Wednesday, you can get married. V'achshav sheshani u'shaktu. And now that we learn this concept of Shaktu, that they were diligent about this, they gave her these 3 days before the wedding. So then, once we know that you have the 3 days beforehand, if the day of marriage falls out on a Sunday, and he gives Mambech B'Shabbos, because you're not able to give her get married on that Sunday, you don't have to give her food until Wednesday. Because you have to give her those 3 days. More important than giving her this best support is to give her those 3 days. Which is, you know, there's a lot of discussion, a lot of, pilpul, as they say, analysis as to how the mechanism of these two logics are working. You have the shaktu, which is that you give her 3 days, and then you have the idea of giving her the mizonos, of giving her support at the time you're supposed to get married. Presumably here we are preferring the concept of shaktu before we prefer the concept of mizonos. Lefikach, however, and this is going to sort of turn us on a tangent, but a very important tangent, chalahu o shachal sahi. Let's say either he gets sick or she gets sick. O shachal sahi, o shapirs anida, or she becomes anida. Now that opens a whole can of worms. So for the moment, we're gonna put this all under the same umbrella called onis. But obviously there are big differences between becoming sick and having your period. And then it sort of opens up a can of worms. Well, what's the problem with having your period and getting married? And the question obviously is, can you consummate the marriage afterwards? Can you even have yichud together if you're anida? What do you do in that situation? I'm not sure at what point the Gemara talks about that explicitly, but suffice it to say that it does get complicated and happens, you know, it's not so rare that it happens. There's only so many things you can control for, and especially when a woman is, excited or looking forward to the day and changes all your hormones, like, it happens that you have what's called the chupas nida. You have a marriage when a woman is anida. Hopefully people don't realize it, and you can keep it somewhat of a private matter, but you do have to make sure that they're not in rooms together. And that the people know that there are certain restrictions even once they get married. But here what it's saying is basically back then, if the woman would be anida, then they would push off the marriage. Right? Nowadays we have all different ways of doing it, but of still having the marriage, there's so much goes into a marriage nowadays that's impossible to push off the marriage. But back then you can imagine that a marriage meant you get all the people from the town together. And then you just get married one day. So now, obviously, there's some
food involved. You're only giving 3 days to get ready for a wedding.
Exactly, yeah. How are you going to rent the hall in 3 days? How are you going to get that many flowers in 3 days? So the point is that when a woman would be pierced anida, and I've heard this from people that in the old country, as they say, that you wouldn't necessarily know the date of the wedding until a few weeks before. And it's because of this issue. Because you don't know what her cycle is going to be like at that point, and they didn't have birth control like we have today. So therefore, it's a lot harder to plan. So here, what it's saying is that if pierced anida, which is a similar situation to if they're sick, so you're pushing off the marriage, and then the question becomes, eino malum mizonos. So then he would not be required, at least at this stage, she would not be required to give her any sustenance because they can't get married this time, right? Let's say it falls out on a Wednesday. And they can't get married on that Wednesday. Good question. Well, I guess in Pierce Nidhi you would see that coming. But in terms of the Chalsa, that would be an issue.
Well, I think the issue here is just he's not obligated to provide
yeah.
it to her. He can
I
keep it for his own. Oh, you're being deceived. Sorry.
Yeah. What do you do with all that food that you just prepared? Yeah. So, in and all, Mizonos Lafika, Chalsa Lafika, Chalsa Pierce Nidhi. And some ask this as a question. Ika debayila mi baya. Some ask it in question form. Chalahu mahu. What's the question? What is the halach if he gets sick? So what's the reason originally? Hasim tamamai mishim de anis. The reason why he doesn't have to necessarily support her in terms of her being sick is because, you know, it's against his will that he's not getting married. Right now he wants to get married, but what can he do? He can't do it. V'achanami ha'anis. And here also he is being forced, anis meaning an ones, which is against his will. So then So then here also he's onus because he's sick, and therefore he doesn't have to, he doesn't have to, he has to support her just like in those cases. In the case of getting married on a Wednesday, so then he has to be pushed, he pushes off the wedding till Wednesday because that's what the rabbi told him to do. But hacha lo, here it's not a problem of what the rabbi said, it's a problem with him. And therefore, he would still be obligated to sustain her despite the fact that he's sick. And v'im tim shalom archalahu ma'alam zonos, and if you're going to say that when he gets sick, it's his own fault and he still has to provide, what about chalsahi? What if she is sick? Mahu. Matzi amar la ana ha ka'amina. That he could say, look, I'm ready. It's your fault that you're not ready, so I'm not gonna, I don't have to give you anything. It's your fault, basically. Odima matzi amar le. Or she could say back to him, no, that's not good enough. Mistapcha sadehu. This is considered like your field, your own field got all ruined. Meaning, I'm your responsibility now. Okay, something happens to yours, so then you got to deal with it. This is like, what's that called in insurance phrasing? Act of God or something?
Force majeure.
I don't know force majeure. I mean, it sounds like you're mispronouncing the word measure.
No, M-A-G-E-R-E.
No, but what I'm saying, something happens to your field or something. Isn't that what it's called? When, like, a hurricane comes or an earthquake comes.
You're talking about an act of God, yeah.
Isn't it? I thought the phrase was act of God in it.
It is.
It's
called
act of God. It was one element.
Okay.
Force majeure, that could be other.
Yeah.
Act of government or something.
Force majeure. It really sounds like you're emphasizing the wrong part of that word. Force majeure. Okay. But... So the point is that sometimes an insurance. Yeah, I don't know. So the point is that sometimes if you were to have some, so sometimes if it's against your will, so the insurance company will pay for it, but if it's against your will, it's still your field. In halakhic terminology, if your field gets ruined, so then you have to assume that loss. No one did that to you. Tough luck, you know? So here also, this is you know, excuse the you know, the crude analogy, but she's your property. She's your responsibility. And if something happens to her, then you got to take care of her. Doesn't matter that you're not married yet. By that point, you're supposed to have gotten married. So therefore, which one do we say? So we have a question on whether he's sick, does he have to give? We have a question now whether she's sick, does he have to give? And now we have Pirsa Nida Mahu. Now when it comes to her getting her period, so you have the responsibility to support her then also. First clarification. When it's a situation where she was expected to get her period, so then that's not even a question because she can't claim, look, your field, you know, just happens to have been ruined now because she should have known that it's going to happen now, right? A vessel is sort of the timing, the cycle of a woman. Every month she knows exactly when she's supposed to get her period, and therefore the fact that she didn't forewarn him is her own fault, or they didn't plan appropriately, it's her own fault, and therefore it's not the situation of nistabcha sadehu, sort of like an unexpected calamity or something. So the Gemara says, kiti b'ilach, when is it a question? Shelo b'shas vesta, when it's not the time she was supposed to get a period, she got a period anyway. This happens, especially with birth control today. This happens oftentimes, you know, when your system is irregular or you're manipulating your system. So then you can get your period at different times when it's unexpected. So my, so what's the halacha in those situations? Kev and the lo b'shas vesta havya matzeh amra nistavcha sadehu. Because it's an unexpected situation, she could claim your field got ruined, just like you said before. Oh, Dilma, kev and the ika nashi the kamishanya vestaihu k'shas vesta dami. Maybe because there are women who do, this does happen to, and therefore she couldn't expect it, but she has to sort of expect the unexpected. So then that's considered like the time of her cycle, and therefore it's her own fault. So therefore he would not be responsible for it because he couldn't, because she should have known better. So Pashit Ravachai, so Ravachai said, he gives mam lo nitsu ochos v'shavochos v'truma. So he makes an interesting extrapolation here, and the Rishon discuss how he extrapolates it based on the letters. Lo nisu, you can see here it says nun yud sam sin aleph vav. Nisu is referring apparently to her. If the time comes and she couldn't get married, so then ochos mishalov also v'truma, she can eat from him. Lo nasu, v'ochos v'truma, lo nasu lo katani, elo lo nisu. So either come akvan inhi, amai ochlos mishalov ochlos v'truma. Why would it be that if it's her own fault that she can't, that she's allowed to eat from his food? Elo lav de isnis kiay gavna. In this case, it must be because there's some kind of onus on her part. Itnis kiay gavna uketani ochlos v'truma ochlos v'truma. Right, the word nisu clues us into the fact that there's something that she did that's incumbent upon her, but nonetheless she can still eat. So it must be a case where she is an anusa. Something happened to her, which is outside of her control, and nonetheless she can eat. Amar Ravashi l'olam emalach kol onsa lo achla. Maybe I would say to you that every force, you know, thing outside of your control, she's not given the opportunity. She's not given the right of food from him yet. But to amak v'inhu, and really the situation is in this case, it's when he did it. It's when he did something that he shouldn't have done, or it's his problem. Uvidin hu di baya le lemisni lo nasu. Technically, it should say the word lo nasu. Va'idi tanaresha bidid hi tananamir sefa bidid hi. And the language of that phrase, in that brisa over there, where it says he gives nam lo nisu, that's only because over there at the beginning of the brisa was also talking from her vantage point too. But it's not to be darshan that it's only her fault that we're talking about. Really, any situation which is outside of their control, he would not have to give her mizonis, he would not have to support her with food yet. But instead, whenever you are able to get married, that's when you have to get married. Okay. Now that we've talked about onsen, we've talked about things outside of your control. So now let's talk about a concept which we actually sort of touched on a little bit at the end of Eivamos, but not exactly in the same way. And that is conditional situations. Amar Rava, u'inyan gitin eino kein. When it comes to a get, it's not the same rule. We just said that the rule is that by getting married, onsen, we consider onsen in terms of a person's responsibility. That if there's something you have to do, but outside of your control, something happens, so then you are not going to be held responsible for something which happens outside of your control. So here it says, Rava, when it comes to gitin, things that are outside of your control, we are not going to consider. This is the no excuses clause. I remember when I played for a specific basketball coach, he said, I have like two rules, something like don't come late and don't give me excuses, which is like a terrible rule because sometimes you have a really good excuse. But it's a no excuses, right? So this is the no excuses clause when it comes to getting. Amar Rav, it doesn't matter what happened. You couldn't, dog ate your homework, doesn't work. That's what it basically means. Amar Rav leinu gitin kein alma kasava Rava ein ones begitin. The word enos begitin could throw you off. But what it means is there's no excuses. There's no you're not excused because of some crazy thing happening. Even if something happens and it is not what you intended, we're still going to consider that get to fulfill that condition that whatever was supposed to happen happened. What's the example of that? So minale la Rava, how does Rava find this out? How does Rava extrapolate from any kind of Chazal source that there's ain onus begitin, that we do not even consider any excuses, even if there are things outside of your control? So what we're basically saying here is we're trying to look for a statement of Chazal that is absolutely teaching us that rule. There are sometimes we're going to say, wait a second, maybe that's teaching us a different rule, and we can't necessarily learn from that this rule, but we'll do it one by one. Says the Gemara, Ilim Mehaditznan, if you're going to tell me from the Mishnah in Gittin, Harei Zegiteich Im Lo Basi Mekan V'ad Shneimasar Chodesh, Umeis B'Soch Shneimasar Chodesh, Eino Get. So let's say a person says, this is a get for you if I do not come home within the next 12 months. And then in the middle of the 12 months, he dies. So says the Gemara, that's not considered a get. The get is not fulfilled after 12 months because he's just dead. So the Gemara says, as an implication, Meishu de eno get, hachala hareza a get. Maybe only in the situation where he actually dies is it not considered a get. But if you were just to be sick, let's say the 12 months happens on a specific day, and that day he's too sick to come over and to give the get.
So too sick to come back.
He was to come back wherever he is. So then, haray zeh get, it's still a good get based on this implication. Only death is going to preclude the get, But if he's just sick, and that's an ones too, that's something which is out of his control, and nonetheless, we said that it's a get, meaning, ain't ones begitten. So the Gemara says, maybe this is your source. So says the Gemara, maybe v'dilma la'olam emala chala nami eno get, maybe even getting sick is going to preclude the possibility of it being a get. Just getting sick is also a good excuse. V'hi gufa kamashmalan, and this is what it's teaching us, de'ein get la'achar misa. That the point of this mission is not to teach us anything about a person getting sick, but rather to teach us that any get which is supposed to establish itself based on a condition after someone's dead, it does not work. You cannot establish a get la'achar misa. You can only establish a get once the person is as the person is still alive. So Gemara says, "Ain get la'achar misa hatana le'resha." It already said that at the beginning of that Mishnah, or previously in that same area of Gittin. So that was on Gittin Ayin Vav, this one's on Gittin Ayin Beis. I'm not sure if it's literally part of the same Mishnah or it's just a previous Mishnah. But Harei Zegiteich Im Meisi, if the person says, this is your get if I die, or if he says, Harei Zegiteich Mecholi Zeh, what does that mean? This should be a get for you if I get sick. If I die from this sickness?
The first one, if I die, the second one's from this illness.
What does that mean, from this illness?
After this illness passes, since in the final event he died before the illness was over, the implication of the stipulation is that the get can take effect only after his death.
So it is also death, but it's death after the illness.
Yeah.
Okay. If I die from this illness, so that's when it's your get. So either when I die generally, or if I die from this illness, hareza gitech la'achar misa. But the first part of the mission teaches us already that a get lachar misa in this type of situation, as if you said nothing, the get does not work like that. So it already taught us the concept of get lachar misa not working. So you don't need the second part to teach us that. It's coming obviously to teach something else. So Gemara says, Dilma lachukumi dirabaseinu. Maybe the second part is to teach us, or to exclude a different situation, a different statement from the rabbis. The Tanya, because the rabbis say in a brayso of Rabbeinu Hetziru Elinase, the rabbis allowed her to get married. Ramin and Man Rabbeinu, Amr Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Beidina Desharim Mishcha. What does that mean? Desharim Mishcha, the oil. I can't remember the oil thing. Below Chalit. Oh, this is referring to a Yibum case. In a case where a person said, "If I don't come." And divorce is valid. So now that would presume even if he had died, the divorce is still valid. And he doesn't need
that. That could simply mean that, you know, either he died or he's divorced.
Right. But the point is, right.
Clearly.
If he died, he would have had halitza. So the question is, so here the rabbis say that that's a good enough divorce. So he tiruli nase is basically that the rabbis allowed her to get married without a halitza because they assumed that it was a divorce there and not a death. And here, so the mission is coming to exclude or to disagree with that concept. The Amrinan, we had said Man Rabbeinu. So who is this Rabbeinu? I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Beidina Desharim Mishcha Savrila Rabbi Yosi. How do you translate that part also?
Well, it's Beidina Desharim Mishcha, the members of the court that permitted oil.
What does that mean? That's right. Meaning as opposed to Yayin Netzach, where the wine you have to be concerned, so the oil, you're not concerned. And the case is like, Beidin Desharim Mishcha Savri Lech Rebbe Yosi Te'amar Zmano Shal Shtar Melchiyach Alev. As we say, Vein Lovas V'chol Lech 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 Shivato hu mochiach shekach amar la im labasi lo so zman yegel mafrem mi hayom ti ilo mishat masra. Mishat v'gita Hashem ha-ri Rashi. Hashem ha-zachor alam ha-kas of yom k'siva ha-get. V'soch ha-listov im lo basi l'rabi Rosh Chodesh pon yeget. So he did a chalitza la he find. I'm not sure what the oil had to do with it. I can't remember.
It's just they were lenient on there, so they're lenient. This is the lenient court, according
to... Oh, this court was lenient. Okay, fine.
So they were lenient about that.
Other things. Okay, so there's no real thematic connection. Valami Seifa.
This is the Michael Bunch.
So basically, so now we're saying that mission, which teaches us about the Get Lach Ramis, is not really teaching us that, but it's teaching us that a sickness is also is not going to preclude the get from taking hold. So the Gemara says, "Elam yisayfa me'achshiv l'mos v'akam v'afei b'chodesh v'meis v'soch shnei mechatz chodesh." Hari is the get meis v'hu adin l'chola. Dilma meis dafka d'lo nichalei d'tipol kame yava. Maybe specifically when it comes to death and not to sickness, it's teaching us that the get would work because the person doesn't want his wife to fall in yibam. And that's why it wouldn't work, but not because of Ein Get Lach Hamisa. And therefore, it doesn't teach us anything about a sickness either. El Mehad, Ahuda Amar Luhu, Ilo Asina Mehikan, Yad Glasin Yomim, Leavigita, Asa, Besof Glasin Yomim, Upaske, Mibra. So this is a different source that Rav is trying to use to teach us that Ein Osin Megitin, that a forced get is not a good get, is still a good get. So the question was, if the person says, I'll come back in 30 days, and then you see him basically waving his arms, it's across the river, but there's this big boat in the way, he can't get there. So then it's still a get. He's sort of locked off from passing. So then Amar Luhu Chazudasai, and he's saying, I'm here. So Amar Shmuel Lav Shmei Masya. That's not called coming. Meaning that he has fulfilled the condition and it is a good get. So the Gemara says, maybe that's the source of Rava, who's trying to teach you that even an Onef is still considered a good get regardless of your excuse. And the fact that he didn't come 30 days doesn't matter that he's right there. Doesn't matter. It's still a good get. So the Gemara says, V'dilma onsa d'shchiach shani. Maybe that's a common Onef, and that's why it's a good get, but not to teach you that all onsin, all excuses are bad. It's his own fault. He should have known that there are boats that travel across this river, and he shouldn't have waited till the last minute. So, Ela Rabba Svaradin Avshikamer. In the end of the day, Rabba is giving his own reasoning for Ein Onsin Begitzin, that you don't have excuses for a get. It's his own logic. Mishum Tenuos and Mishum Prutzos. And the logic is because of those who are modest and those who are promiscuous. Mishum Tenuos, when it comes to a woman who's modest, let's say the woman says, the guy says, "Di amart lola have a get." If she would say that there is onus begitin, and maybe the time for the get to establish has come, and she says, "No, maybe he was just honest. Maybe he was caught, and it's really a good get." Zim de lo honest. Maybe he's not really. There's no good excuse. Visavra de honest, and she's going to think that really, no, he was stuck somewhere. He's stuck across the world, and he just can't get here, but really, he's coming back, and it's just an onus case. So she's very modest, and she wants to be super scrupulous. So the Gemara says, Umi agna v'yasva, and she's just going to be an aguna the rest of her life, because she's going to continuously think the guy's coming back, when really, he meant to fulfill the get, and she just thinks that he's an onus. So, and therefore, we say that there ain't onus to megitzin, so that she should know she should get married. She should get remarried, and not just stay single the whole time. Umi shum prutos. And in terms of women who are promiscuous, because the Amart lowly have a gita.
The assumed process is he's going to be sitting as an aguna forever because he's not coming back because it sounds like maybe
he's gone
off to be with other women.
Mishum Prutas is a different logic of that. Mishum Prutas is. That,
oh, no, actually, you're right.
Yeah. Mishum Prutas. Mishum, conversely, Mishum Prutas is the other option. The E Amart Lola Havagita, Zimnin the Anis the Amra, because there's sometimes that when he really is, he does have an excuse, but the time of the get hasn't come. The Lola Havagita,
okay, yeah,
no, she's going to say it's not a good get. Sometimes, if we consider Onsen, so sometimes the time for the get will come and it's a real onus, and he can't make it there, And she's going to say, no, it's not an owner.
No, it's good.
He really meant to stay here, even though we can see him across the river. She's saying, I don't know. I want to go marry this guy. And she's basically sort of turning a blind eye to it. So if we were to say that there are own sins, she's going to go, V'ramalo anis, v'azlo mintzavav anim to get batel, ubenem amzerin. So then she's going to go marry somebody else, and her children are going to be a mamzerin because she's ignoring the fact that there's an onus. And therefore, Rava says, if the time for the get comes, the time for the get has already been called. It doesn't matter if there's an onus or not an onus. We're going to consider like she's divorced so that we can avoid these issues. Shkaya.